Welcome to Look Up with Pastor Mike and his wife Linda Sasso of Calvary Chapel of Eagle, a radio ministry designed to assist you in applying God's Word to your everyday life. For the next hour, Pastor Mike and Linda will encourage you with your walk with Christ and help you look up to Jesus. If you need advice on marriage, life challenges, or relationships, call in now. It's time to look up to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Here's Mike and Linda.
Well, hi, everybody. This is Pastor Mike, and I am live in studio with my wife, Linda. And, you know, yesterday was Valentine's Day, and we did a little quick Valentine's Day topic show about just some tips to build your marriage. And it seemed like as I listened to the station all day long, it seemed like everybody was talking about love and marriage and Valentine's Day and all that. And I was going to move on today to go back to our topic of we're talking about upreach, inreach, outreach, that series. But I just really felt like, okay, you know what? One of the best times to talk about love and marriage is after Valentine's Day. Because in reality, and I know some of you might have blown it and you think, oh, it's too late, I blew that. No. Or maybe even you think, well, we had a great Valentine's Day, I did all the right things. Well, my heart towards you all would be that you keep doing the right things, not just on Valentine's Day, but that you make your marriage, you make every day Valentine's Day. And now, of course, if Valentine's Day was just this intense, intense dating and flowers and candy and lots of money spent on extravagant gifts, you might not be able to do
that.
Don't
bring her candy every day.
No. You might not be able to do that every day. You probably shouldn't. But I think the intense love and consideration and putting your spouse first should always be an ongoing theme in your marriage, and not just on holidays, okay? Not just on Valentine's Day. So I thought, okay, today, you know, Linda says, what do you want to talk about today? So let's do a follow-up from yesterday, and let's talk to our listeners about building your marriage and investing in your marriage, and it takes work. So we're going to talk about that today. There's lots of things we could talk about. There was a list we started yesterday, and I think we'll probably continue going down that list. But I want to remind you, we are a live call-in show. Now, sometimes this is rerun, but let me let you know, this is being recorded live on Friday, February 15th, okay? So that's the day it is today. And if you're listening on that day, you could call in, text us, get involved. We want to hear both your questions and maybe your input. Maybe you've got a great marriage and you've got some advice. Now, let me tell you something. If you've been married 3 weeks, honestly, I don't want your advice. Have you been married 3 weeks? I want to see a marriage that's been around for 3, 4, 5 years at least, and you're still doing good. Then you've earned the right to speak, okay? It cracks me up when people who are on their honeymoon, pretty much, so to speak, will tell me, try to give advice on how you have a good marriage. Well, you haven't been tested yet. Because when the honeymoon's over and the trials come and things will get tough, you'll see each other's worst side. And that's when you really know what somebody's made of. And so if you're going to call in and give advice or share some helpful tips, I would hope you'd be married several years, at least 5 or more. Of course, I've known single people of such great wisdom, and
that's why they're not married.
I was going to say that. They got great wisdom, and they haven't married yet because they're careful.
Waiting for that right person.
Yeah, we knew a gal back in California who everybody thought she was going to be an eternal single person. She was the most eligible bachelorette we knew. Beautiful, smart, good Christian gal, and she was single. And yet, the reason is because she wasn't in a hurry to rush into a marriage and get herself in over her head. She was selective, and it was wise, and she's doing well now. She is married now, and we love her and her husband. They're doing good. So anyway, I'm off and running in different topics. But Linda's going to tell you maybe how you could interact with us, because we love to hear from you. I especially love callers, but there's many ways, several ways you could communicate, and Linda's going to tell you about that.
Hello, everybody. Yeah, we're going to continue on this series of, you know, how do you improve your marriage and invest in your marriage? That's a term we like using, is invest in your marriage. You invest in all kinds of things that you want to go well. Invest in your marriage. Yeah. If you want to be live on the air with us, that number is 208 2-0-8-377-3790. Again, that's 2-0-8-377-3790. If you can't handle the idea of talking live on the air, you can go ahead and send a text message to Calvary Chapel Eagle's phone, 208-891-2635. If you're out there in Facebook Live land and want to join this conversation, go ahead, leave a comment. We keep an eye on those. And when appropriate or we see them, we throw them out there to everybody else that's also just listening. Mm-hmm. So I think today we were going to pick up on number 4 in this list. And it says direct, clear communication should always be top priority. Duh. You know, I mean, there's too many people that don't communicate. Well, I'm just taught that you keep your feelings private and you don't, you know, talk about these things. And you kidding? You talk about everything. If you want a good marriage, you talk about everything, okay? There's another one that goes with it, number 8. And I would like to discuss both of these together, Mike. Important issues that are repeatedly ignored, minimized, or go underground will resurface with a vengeance. Mm-hmm. Oh, believe me, that is so true. A healthy relationship requires facing uncomfortable issues from time to time. Yeah. Right. I mean, that's part of the communication. If you communicate and you guys are willing to talk about those tough things, and sometimes they are really tough things in a marriage. You guys were raised in totally different homes, totally different standards, possibly different beliefs. And how do you mesh that together as one, let alone that we all live in a human body and we are usually, most of us by nature, extremely selfish people? How do you make that work together, that you become one and that you're working together for one central purpose rather than just for your own purpose? Okay. Communication. It has to be deliberate. On purpose, not when you're mad, not when you're upset. That's a bad time to talk about things, okay? When you're upset. And usually those hard things will cause people to be very emotional, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And if it gets too emotional and it escalates too much, that's when people say things they shouldn't say. They do things they shouldn't do. They make that threat of, oh, well, I'm just going to leave then. If I'm not good enough for you, go find somebody else. Oh, such poison words. So when you find that things are escalating too much and you're reacting emotionally rather than being able to honestly communicate with each other, I would suggest very highly that you guys have keywords you settle on beforehand that you can just say, I am getting too emotional about this. Can we just take a break? And you take a break and you go pray, you go do what you have to. But there has to be something that when you realize you're going to start escalating out of control, that you can say something to each other about that. And the other person is going to respect that and respond to that. Because you're going to start being emotional instead of logical or considerate or self-sacrificing. And we do that so many times when we're losing an argument, people start slinging mud or attacking the other person. And usually they say things they don't really mean. They're just being mean. Okay. And that's what you need to be able to avoid, to be able to communicate. You need to have the freedom. You can say anything to each other, but that you're very careful. You don't say any and everything to each other when you're in an escalated emotional state.
Right. And also another part of that is where you point your finger.
Yes.
Okay. One of the principles that comes to me as we're looking at this is that, you know, number 3 says, without clear expression of commitment to the relationship, trust and emotional security will suffer. A strong relationship foundation is built on mutual commitment. There are things you could take for granted and you without communicating, and you just think it's fine. You think everything's good. I'm listening right today. I didn't tell you, Lynn. I was listening to my brother. My brother George is a marriage and family pastor in California at a large church, at Jack Hibbs Church. And he does the monthly married couples classes. And he finally sent me a link last night to where all the studies were. So I started listening to it. And he did a session not long ago on love and romance. And I thought, well, let's just see what George has to say, because I always, I don't get to listen to him. And it was really good. I'd not finished with it yet. But he was giving an example that I think needs to be repeated, is that he would say, guys, sometimes you're just thinking you're all romantic and you're just stroking your wife's face and you just think she's digging this. And she's thinking, that is the most annoying feeling in all the world. And so communication, guys, ask your wife what bothers her or what she likes and what she doesn't like. Women, if your husband is doing something that annoys you, let him know. But let me tell you how to let him know, okay? It's which way the finger is pointing. Let me explain. There's a principle here that Linda and I learned a long time ago, and we want to pass it along to you, is that if you are hurt or feeling disrespected or feeling offended by something your spouse says, rather than pointing the finger at them and saying, you are really annoying me, you do this or you do that, you need to point the finger to yourself and say, I am feeling hurt. I am feeling threatened. Name it. Describe it. Point. This makes all the difference in the world in good communication, okay? Which way the finger is pointing. If you're hurt, well, then express it like that rather than saying, pointing the finger at your spouse and saying, you hurt me. Point the finger at yourself and say, I feel hurt. What that does is it gives your spouse an opportunity to reach out in compassion and minister to you and show love to you and maybe help you in your hurt, rather than put up their defense and say, well, I did not hurt you, or I didn't mean to hurt you. You don't want to put each other on defense where it's back and forth, tit for tat, you know you. Okay. So if you're bothered by something, point the finger at yourself and say, you know, that really troubles me. That really bothers me. Rather than pointing the finger at them and saying, you annoy me. You know what I mean? So anyway, there's a real important principle that'll go far in your marriage. It'll make a big difference in your communication. If you learn to point to yourself and express what you're feeling rather than point to the other person and blame, that's really a key word. Putting the blame on them is, you do this and you do that and you're insensitive. They may be insensitive, but they will never know it by you pointing the finger at them and saying you're insensitive. What you need to do is point the finger at yourself and say, wow, I feel so wounded by that. I feel so hurt by those words. Let your spouse understand what you're feeling rather than pointing the finger at them with accusation or blame. Now, we're going to continue here, but let me remind you what we're doing. I've been reading from a list here from a ministry, give credit where credit is due, a ministry called Thriving Marriages. And you could go to their website, thrivingmarriages.com. I get regular emails from them, and every now and then I'll set aside something, an article that I think is good that might be worth discussing. And this article had 20 tips for a great marriage, okay? Let me just read the first paragraph of introduction. There's way too much here. I'm just going to read the first paragraph. So many words. There's a reason so many marriage blogs overlap. Some principles are just too universally true to not be mentioned repeatedly. What are the one or two of today's tips that you could put into practice right away? Now, it goes on. The introduction goes on and on. But I like that, because what I'm telling you is, every one of these tips may not apply to you. As a matter of fact, some of these tips we're going to skip over. There's 20. We're not going to cover them all today. But some of them hit Linda or me or both of us, and we go, you know what? We need to talk about that. So we're looking at these 20 relational tips from Thriving Marriage Ministries, and I think it's really good. By the way, Linda and I have gone to the Weekend to Remember years ago. I know one's coming up in March, and this station has been promoting it. You could just look online, search for...
I think it's next weekend.
Is it next weekend?
Not this weekend. I think
it might not be too late. Hopefully it's not. But
even the station was giving away something.
Okay.
So, you know, they need to listen to those commercials about this station is giving away a weekend and two-night stay and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, well, the reason why I'm mentioning it while there's still time, I highly recommend The Weekend to Remember. Is it by Family Life Conference? I think the ministry that put it on. And Linda and I, over the years, have been to a lot of marriage weekends, a lot of marriage retreats, a lot of marriage conferences. And at least back when we went, the Weekend to Remember was our favorite. Now, it may have changed. I've actually heard some people go to one and be disappointed because it depends on who puts it on or where it's at. But I've heard nothing but good reports every time some of our folks from Calvary Chapel Eagle go to the Weekend to Remember here in town. So it's coming up next weekend. Look online. I don't have all the information handy for you, but it is well worth to invest in your marriage in this way. And here's the thing. Sometimes all you need to do is just get away for one weekend or one evening and say, let's work on our marriage. You know, Linda and I, we do this all the time, only we call it a cruise. We get away, we spend time together. Some of our time is relaxing, as we're going to look at in these 20 tips. You don't have to spend every waking moment with one another. Sometimes we give each other some elbow room. You know, sometimes Linda wants to go play bingo and I want to go to the gym, and it's okay. Okay. But we all need to be investing in our marriages. And if, what was it? I heard the commercial not long ago earlier today, and it said, make good marriages great. It's not always just to fix a bad marriage, though there's times our marriages really need a shot in the arm. But if you've got an okay marriage and you want to make it a great marriage, I highly recommend The Weekend to Remember, because they'll give you not only good teaching, but they'll give you plenty of time with one another, and they'll give you homework and say stuff like, I want you to go back to your room and take the next hour to ask each other these questions. And they'll give you tips on good communication on how to go through this workshop. And so it's not just attending a workshop and taking notes. You know, that's not a good marriage conference when all you do is just sit and listen. A great marriage conference is when they will give you some tools, and then they'll take a break, and then they'll give you an opportunity to try those tools out. They'll give you communication tools, and they'll say, now go back to your room and try this. And, you know, that's what we're hoping to do, even like that tip I just told you a minute ago about which way the finger's pointing. I hope if you're in the middle of a dispute or trying to hammer something out with your spouse, or you're being bothered or troubled or hurt or offended, that you learn to point the finger at yourself and say, I feel lonely, or I feel hurt, rather than pointing the finger at your spouse. Okay, I'm driving this into the ground. I think Linda's got something.
Oh, no, that's okay. I just was doing all the searching, and March 15th, so it's a month away. We're in February 15th.
Good.
So it's a month away. You have plenty of time, you know, to go ahead and get signed up for this. And you can go to Family Life to do it. You can call the radio station here and get information on it. But believe me, it's well worth it. It's called an investment in your marriage.
Right.
It's a time away, but it's time where you get away from regular life, out of your regular circumstances, because sometimes the regular circumstances of day-to-day life can interfere, because you just kind of settle into being lethargic and not doing anything. When you go out and do something different, and that's one of the reasons we go on a cruise, to get away from our phones, emails, the different stuff that keeps us going in ministry every day. There's something that comes in we have to deal with, okay? So we get away. And we don't get too much internet. We can usually check our emails, and sometimes we wish we hadn't when we do it.
You talk about on the cruises.
On the cruises. And the reason we pick cruises is because it's one of the cheapest vacations I can find. And they take care of you. They do everything. I know people say you can go camping cheaper. You go ahead. If you're into camping, you go ahead. I put in my days of doing that. I paid my dues. All the years of junior high camping on the beach with 25 kids, cooking on a Coleman stove, living in out of an ice chest. So that to me is not fun. That's work. I like something where somebody else is going to make my bed and cook my food for me. So, men, think of that. Take your wife on a getaway where she gets away from her regular stuff, because if you do go camping, guess who still has to cook and clean and all those things? Yeah, it may be a different circumstance, but it, you know, if that's your thing, you go for it. But think maybe she'd like to get away from what those daily chores are, like the cooking and the cleaning. So, yeah. Okay, so March 15th, you got a month. Got a month to sign up for this, so I hope you do.
Okay. The only other thing, there's another point here that it's kind of a repeat from yesterday, but I still want to mention it and remind you, and especially if you maybe didn't listen in yesterday. But number five on this list of quick tips for a great marriage is to being attuned to your being attuned to your needs, wants, and desires is the first step in getting them met. When you're unclear about your own needs, how can your spouse or partner ever meet them? Okay, and this is really big. This is one of the reasons why we do that love list. I think, come to think of it, we didn't really cover this specific thing being mentioned. We talked about the love list, but that is a real frustrating thing. And I remember there was a time in our life when we were newlyweds and we were very young, and I would say, "Well, what do you want? What can I do?" And she goes, and Linda would say, "I don't know what I want." We married young, folks. We told you. We married very young.
I was a baby.
And so Linda didn't know what she wanted. So how could I know what she wanted? And so that's really key. Don't expect your spouse to know how to make you happy, to know how to please you, to know what to do to bless you if you don't know what it takes. Because part of the process here in a good marriage is you need to be able to communicate. And one of the things you communicate is your needs or your disappointments or your joys or what you like to do or what you don't like to do. And if you don't know, how in the world is your spouse going to know? Okay. So I like that. That's number five. And that is why I think a love list that we talked about yesterday is very helpful, because if you start making a list of what I'm looking forward to, or what, it's funny, a story came to mind. I remember when we first got married and Linda was very unhappy. Like I said, we were very, very young. She was very unhappy. And I wanted to work on the marriage. So I said, "Honey, tell me what's wrong. What is it that you're unhappy with? What is it you'd like me to work on? Make a list." And she made me a list. I mean, I don't know how long it was, but it was probably 20-something. It was long.
Probably okay? Was, yes.
It was a long, long list. And I start working on the things in the list, and eventually I even went back to her and says, "Honey, could you put this in order? So I'm working on the most important thing first." And I really wanted to save our marriage. We were in trouble. And I think most of our friends back then, and this is like 43 years ago or long, something like that, where most of our friends were looking at it thinking, this marriage, I would vote the least likely to succeed. You know, a lot of people did not think that Mike and Linda were going to make it. So I asked Linda, "Would you please make a list of just what is it that I could work on?" And she made a list, and I started working on those things. And eventually, I told her to put it in priority. So I worked on number one, and then I worked on number two. And there were things like my irresponsibility, that I'd forget birthdays and I would forget holidays, and I would just kind of irresponsible. All right, I'll work on that. So I start keeping a calendar and I start reminding myself of the important dates. And eventually, I probably only got three or four things down the list. And I went to her one day and I says, "Okay, honey, what do you mean by this number four?" Let's just say it was number four on the list of 25, you know? And it says, what do you want me to work on this number four? What exactly do you mean?" And I'm not kidding you. This is a true story. She took the paper away from me and crumpled it up and says, "You know what? Forget about it. I didn't think you loved me. I didn't think you cared. And I see now that you love me. And you, because I worked on the first three. That's all. I just got three into the list of 25. She crumpled it up. She goes, "You know what? I just need to know that you love me. And I just need to know that you care. And I could see that now. And I was so irritated at everything about you that I was being annoyed about things I shouldn't be annoyed at. So, you know what? Forget about it. I see that you love me. That's all that matters." Wow. That's hard to tell the story. It's emotional within me because,
That, I know, you got me all teary-eyed too.
That was powerful. That was really powerful.
That was a big turnaround in our lives too.
Yeah.
Big turnaround.
Okay, just so we don't break down on the radio show, we do have a caller. We have Jim from Boise. Are you there, Jim?
Mike and Linda, hello. How are you?
This is our friend Jim.
I know who it is.
This is Highboy. That's because I drive an old Ford Highboy. That's my nickname.
That's okay. Good to hear from you.
You know, hang on. I got to wipe the tears out of my eyes here. I like that. No, I like that.
Yeah.
So I'm very humbled to be on, and I just want to share something with the viewers. This kind of a mind concept, reach out and grab onto this. You can always tell someone what you're going to do, but it's best to tell someone what you did.
Right.
So it's best to and I'm talking from the man, but whether you're a woman or a man, it's best to let your spouse see what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, when Christ knelt down and he was writing in the dirt, then he's got a lot of conversation about what he did. And no one knows what he wrote, but they know he did something. And so as a man of myself, when I do something for my wife and she sees it and I don't have to say anything about it, she knows. She knows. Now, a little story about, we've been married going on just over 11 years now. And about,
then you've earned your right to speak.
Yeah, right. And I'm still learning. We're all learning. But about 5 or 6 years ago, we were in Ross. I was in Ross shopping with her, and I looked. They had 6 aisles of purses, and I thought, all right, I'm going to go over there and I'm going to look through all the purses, and I'm going to pick out what I think my wife would like for a purse. So I was over there, and a little while later, I went over and I said, I want you to go pick out a purse because I want to see if we have the same taste. And she said, oh, really? I said, yeah. And she went over, and she picked the very purse I picked out of 6 aisles.
Wow.
You're a rare man, Jim.
Now, well, actually, now here's the deal about that. One, men are instructed to love their wives. Why? Because women will respond. It's something that God's put into women when we love our wives.
Mm-hmm.
But this thing where we can say, don't say what we're going to do, do what we're going to do. My wife knew that I study her down to her purse. Now, this is for the guys. This is for the guys. I never, ever, ever even consider being alone with a woman because, when Abraham went and got Lot back, he didn't accept any money, no money, because God was going to do something in his life. He wouldn't even let an ounce of God's money prove that otherwise. And so, you know, one day when I'm an old man, I think I'm getting there pretty close, but I can look at my wife and say, I never even hinted that I wouldn't be in the presence of someone else. And you know what? I'll never have to tell my wife that. Why? Because she will know I studied her. Because I never said, this is what I will do. But what my walk was is what I did do. And I see we're taking a break. I can pause.
Yeah. If you got more to say, hold that thought, and we got to take a station break. And just, we want to hear the rest of the story. Okay, just hold on, Jim.
You're listening to 94.1 The Voice, KBXL, Caldwell, Boise, radio you can believe in. Stay tuned, Mike and Linda will be right back. Look Up was recently extended to a full hour from 2:30 to 3:30 every Monday through Friday. Mike and Linda want to help you apply God's Word to your everyday life. Through Facebook Live, text, and phone, You can ask questions about what the Bible has to say about the real things that are going on in your life. If you would like to text the Sassos, the number is 208-891-2635. The best way to have your question answered is to call the Sassos in the studio right now. That number is 208-377-3790. To learn more about Calvary Chapel Eagle, visit calvarychapeleagle.com. Now here's Mike and Linda.
All right, we are back and we're listening to Jim about just, you know, something that you're saying, Jim, that I think I actually heard years ago in one of the marriage seminars I went to about studying your wife. And because it makes a lot of guys don't study, they study everything but their wives, you know? So why don't you tell us a little bit more about that? How in the world did you learn that, and how do you study your wife?
Okay, well, here you go. One, if a man thinks he can study his wife, he's wrong. He needs direction. You've got to be in God's Word daily. God will take your eyes and put them where they need to be every day. And every day when I read my Bible, I look for Christ. And when I read my Bible, I approach it with saying, God, I'll make my marriage a better marriage. I'll honor you. So when we as men or women study our spouse, now guys, listen to me. It's kind of hard to let your eyes wander where they shouldn't be when you are studying your wife and studying God's Word. And what's the book of James tell us? When our eyes are on God, well, guess what? They're not going where they shouldn't be. And so what I would encourage I don't care how long you've been married. One, take accountability for your actions through God's Word. You have to go to God's Word, and you have to apply God's Word. That's the only way marriage is going to go to that place where God wants it to go. It's the only way. And with that, men, study your wives and lift them up above you. There's a lot of things that I like to do. The biggest thing I love to do, I love to go off. I love triggers. I love guns. I love to shoot. And I don't have any friends that I go with because my wife, she's my bud. But if you think my wife likes to shoot guns, not like I do. So guess what? I do a lot of things with her more so than I do things for myself. And so what we do is we sacrifice ourselves to our spouse, much like Christ did for the church. We say, I really didn't think I needed to go motorcycle riding with the guys this weekend. And I don't ride motorcycles. I'm just picking this up. Or, you know, I really wanted to go do something this weekend, but you know what? I think I'm going to focus on my wife. And what happens is, God shows you a taste. This is the greatest taste. And after a while, you look back and say, you know, I found a different friend than this person I married, and I never knew I could be this good. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to share that. That's the approach I take.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that, Jim. And thank you for calling. You know, I've peeked in on your YouTube channel. It's time you peek in and interact with us. So thank you for joining us for a bit today.
I'm here every day. I love you guys, and I pray for you so much.
Thank you.
And I hope you don't mind me saying this on the air, but I think my wife and I ought to take you two out to dinner.
We would love to. We would absolutely love to.
Well, remember, it's not what you say, it's what you do.
So. You're a good student,
Mike. All right, Jim, Lord bless you. Thank you for calling.
God bless.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Listen to the rest of this. God bless.
Oh, God bless. Thank you. Well, it's funny because I met Jim from him listening, and he's one of the listeners, and he'd comment, and before you know it, we start, I forget if we were texting back and forth offline, and then found out he got a YouTube channel I'm watching, and I commented it online. You know, there's a lot of people listening we never get to hear from, and it's always a delight when you get to connect with one of your listeners and knowing and become friends. You know, even though he doesn't attend our church, we've never even met in person, but we feel a kinship.
We're still friends.
A friendship. Yes. Yeah, it's good to have friends. Now,
and you have one of those "it's what you do" stories, huh?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I was going to tell that story. It's kind of embarrassing because when I was young and foolish, hopefully I'm not wise and old and foolish now, but when I was young and foolish, I remember I'd be driving home from work and I'd pass flower shops and I'd go, oh, I should buy Linda some flowers, but I wouldn't stop. You know, and then I'd get home and we'd get talking and I would say, you know, hon, I thought of getting you flowers today. I just didn't stop. It's like, why do you even say that? That's a stupid thing to tell your wife, you know. And so when Jim told that story, it reminded me of some of the foolish things I said years ago. And, you know, I don't know what it was, why I just couldn't stop. I'm driving home from work. Yes, you can. Guys, you think about something nice to do for your wife, do it. Whether it's stopping to get flowers, whether it's taking her out to dinner, the last thing your wife wants to hear from you is, you know, I thought about doing this for you, but you didn't do it. So when Jim told that story, Linda and I both looked at each other because we know that story. It's kind of funny. Okay.
Well, one thing I do want to put out there with this is those are good intentions.
Yeah.
And good intentions make us feel good. Look at me. I thought of bringing her flowers. What a good boy I am.
Make her Linda
and
feel good.
I'm going to tell her I thought of bringing her flowers. But you know what? When you tell your wife that, your girlfriend that, whoever, it ain't worth a hill of beans. Yeah. Because you didn't actually do anything. You just had a good thought that made you feel happy and actually can almost hurt the other person because, well, I thought of you, but I didn't think of you enough to really do it. That's what it says. So be careful with that, okay? I know so many of us, we have good intentions. If you're not going to follow through on your good intentions, don't say it. Don't tell somebody, well, I thought of doing this for you, because it can ease your conscience, but it can actually hurt them and make them feel like they're not worth much of anything. Bobby just put, yeah, it's not the thought that counts. It is the action.
That's good.
And what I told Mike with that is, don't tell me you love me. Show me you love me. Because I heard it so often. And we do. We appease ourselves with, well, I had a good thought today. And we think we're going to share this with them. I had a good thought about you today. Of course, you weren't worth me actually doing anything, but I had a good thought about you. And it was becoming too much of a habit, okay? So that's why I said something. And it's like, that's why we're at the place I think we are now. Valentine's Day. Yes, we did go out to dinner yesterday because we were out of the house. If we weren't out of the house, I probably would have made homemade mac and cheese or something like that. It's not that big thing that, oh, it's Valentine's Day. He better get me a present. Like we told you, we didn't bother wasting our money on cards. I didn't get flowers. We went out together. We love each other every day. And that's the point that we're trying to get across to you guys. It is not just for Valentine's Day, their birthday, your anniversary, and Christmas. Just as Jim was saying, you think of each other every day. And I love the part that he said when he's reading God's word and he's taking before the Lord, I want to make my marriage better. Lord, show me how through your word. I mean, come on, you read the word, you can't get too far without, you know, learning that you need to die to yourself. Mm-hmm. Put others first.
Right.
Love God, then love others. And if you really put that into practice and purposefully put it towards your marriage, I can guarantee you your marriage will get better.
Yeah.
I can guarantee you that because you're then trusting the Lord, allowing him to direct you with it. And that's why we're talking about this one more day is encourage not just those special days that are set aside with titles, but every day. Let me tell you, people expect things on Valentine's Day. But if it just happens to be next Tuesday for absolutely no reason, you show up with flowers just because I love you? Oh my. There are plenty
special.
Of benefits, aren't yeah. there, of doing that? Rather than I thought of it or here Valentine's Day, I gave you this. That's kind of unexpected.
Yeah.
But when
yeah.
out of nowhere, you show somebody you're thinking of them and care about them. Oh my gosh. I mean, the benefits that go both ways with that. Because, you know, if Mike would do that, I would feel very loved and feel special. And then it would make me want to show him how much I love him. And it goes back and forth. And that's how a marriage should be. I work on making him feel special. He works on making me feel special. Through that, we get our needs met without even having to mention them or nag about them, because the other person is, like Jim said, studying.
Yeah.
I know what makes Mike happy. I know what rings his bell. And I think he pretty much knows what rings mine. You know, it's doing it, not just saying it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. I'll tell you what, as we're going through this Thriving Marriage article on 20 tips for great marriage, I see the number 9 and 10, there's a negative statement and then there's a positive one. I think they're worth discussing. I don't know if you looked at them, Linda.
Okay.
But the negative one in number 9 is, like a wildfire, emotional wounding and defensiveness can spiral out of control and quickly consume a relationship. Couples need to be mindful of the negative cycles that arise in their relationship.
Yes.
So the negative thing to warn you of is, you know, you don't want to punish one another. You don't want to get back at them with insults. You know, it's like I was thinking when we're talking about the flower thing, or I thought about doing this for you. You know, one of the bad things to do is say, you know, I was going to take you out to eat today, but now forget it because you get into an argument or something. You know, the best thing to do is if you get into a little bit of a tension in your home, and maybe guys, you come home from work and there's a little bit of tension, don't say, yo, I was going to take you out to eat, but who wants to spend time with you now? That's the negative cycle. What you need to do is say, you know, hon, why don't you take a break? Let's put everything aside. I'm going to take you out to eat today. Make it a positive thing. And I've seen so many couples that when Linda and I, especially when we used to do marriage counseling, and we'd be sitting across the table with somebody, and you'd watch these couples insult one another.
Oh, yes.
And one would cuss one another out, and the other one would say, well, yeah, but you're a blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. You're just digging the ditch deeper and deeper. You're making a bad matter worse. And so stop the negative. Stop punishing. Stop. Matter of fact, one of the things I heard my brother talk about, because he's talking about love and romance, in his message I was listening about, they're talking about sex. You could punish somebody by withholding sex, okay? And it's like, yeah, well, I know what he wants, but he ain't getting it tonight because blah, blah, blah. You know, all this is negative stuff of punishing one another, of holding back your love from one another, of insulting one another. This is all pretty serious stuff that you got to, first of all, you recognize, what is it what are the negative things that I do that does damage to my relationship, that insults or offends or belittles my wife, that I need to stop? Now, one of the things that come to mind before we get to the positive here, that I think I might have mentioned on this radio program before, that I grew up in a house with 5 boys, and I was the oldest of 5. And you know how boys are. We joke rough. We hit and wrestle and knock one another in the head. And we love to insult one another and make fun of one another. And I don't know if it's still the case out there, folks, because I'm all grown up and old man now. But, you know, I became really good at insulting. It was like, if you remember Don Rickles, you know, I was really good at sarcasm, and I thought it was funny to insult somebody and make a sarcastic joke. And it didn't take me long to realize that doesn't go over well with Linda, because I would maybe make a sarcastic remark and she'd be the brunt of my joke. And that was just something we did as boys. That's something we did in the house. And we just thought it was funny. And it was entertainment. And we all became really good at that sword play. And Linda, and I don't know how long it took me. It probably did take me a year or two, because I'm a slow learner. Where Linda finally had to say to me, please never use me as the brunt of your joke. and never use me as a brunt of joke in public or in private. Because sometimes when you're out with your friends, you knock somebody, you make a joke. I don't know. Maybe I'm talking to somebody specifically today. Maybe that's hitting one of you and you realize it. But what I need to do, what you and we all need to do, is compliment our spouses in public, build them up when you're out in public, and make sure that you never, never put them down, never make a sarcastic joke or insult. So this is one of those emotional wounding defensiveness or the negative things that spiral out of control, because it starts with one person and then the next person could start, you know, back and forth, offending one another. Now, Linda didn't play that game back with me because that's just not the way she rolls.
That wasn't, yeah.
But I had to realize not to do that.
Yeah. You know what? I want to bring up another instance from our past where we talk about these negative cycles, because sometimes we sabotage what would be a good thing, okay? And there would be this habit of when we're first married, maybe didn't even have kids yet, you know, and it's like, where do you want to do today? Oh, let's go to Disneyland or Knott's Berry Farm. We lived in Southern California. We would talk about it, make plans, get dressed, get ready. And as we're about to walk out the door, then Mike would say something like, well, is there something else we should be spending this money on? And it was like, boom, the bubble just burst. Even if we still went, it was like, okay, you just took all the fun out of this. We were talking about it, making a plan. Why didn't you say something before I got all excited? That would happen a lot. I don't know. Do you remember about going out to eat?
Right.
It's like we'd talk about, okay, well, you know, feel like, oh, well, this sounds good. Well, let's go to Taco Bell. They got a sale on and everything like that. We'd get dressed, get ready to head out the door. And he's like, well, do we have food in the house that's going to go bad? And I'm like, okay, there. And I think it was a negative cycle. And I think a lot of it had to do with the way he grew up with five boys in the house. And, you know, money was not very abundant. And luckily, when we were first married, he was a lithographer in print trade. For that time and your age, we made decent money that we actually could afford to go do these things. Mm-hmm. But because of his upbringing of having to be so prudent, is the right word, with everything, it was like I'd get all excited and then he burst my bubble. And even if we still went out to eat, it wasn't the same anymore. I call that a sabotage. And it was a cycle he had to realize.
Yeah.
Don't let me get excited about this if you're not really going to follow through on it. If you're going to have guilt at the last minute about, well, maybe we shouldn't do this. You know, that's a sabotage. And it just made things hard. Some of you have things in your past, things you grew up with, that just like that. Think about it. Think about that. That you throw it out there and it just sabotages the whole thing. You were about to have a very wonderful time with your spouse. You were about to do something that showed your spouse that you loved them and you were going to have fun together. And we believe people should have fun together. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. You should have fun with your spouse more than anybody else. You should have fun with your spouse. And then, like Mike said, you throw a wet towel on it. You can't get that enthusiasm back because he would see my countenance drop and he said, oh, it's okay. Let's go. Let's go. And then it's like, no, I don't feel like going, you know, I mean, when I was 20, you know, and then it could turn into a fight and then nobody eats and nobody goes out. And what could have been a wonderful time became sabotaged. And I think it came from just a negative cycle because of what he was used to. Now, he worked his way out of that, and he still will ask me, you know, we're going to plan a cruise or something, you know, do we have the money to do that? That's prudent to ask that question. And it's like, yes, we got our tax refund. Yes, I've been saving for that. Or yes, we are using money from the inheritance your father left us. You know, we're taking a little bit out of that. Plus, I think it helps that I find really good deals, and he knows that. I don't just go buy something at full price. It's against my nature.
Yeah.
That for me would be sin, you know, to buy anything at full price, unless it's something Mike really wanted and I knew it and it wasn't going to go on sale. Then I would do it. That's about the only way. For me, I ain't going to buy nothing full price. It's going to go on sale sooner or later. But not only that, you know, where you can pull things down with negative and you turn it into a fight. Don't sabotage your marriage. So many people do that.
Right. See, I remember that well because I was and am to this day a bit guilt-driven. You know, all of a sudden we're going to go out and we're going to spend money on something. And I'm feeling like, gee, I still to this day, I hate throwing food away. I'd rather eat leftovers than throw it away.
Throw it away or he'll eat it. He will ignore the mold and eat it.
She'll find stuff in the refrigerator that's dated, you know, last month and throw it away before I get to it. Because if I get to it, I'm thinking I'm not going to waste food. I'm eating it. Anyway, that was a part of it. And it was my upbringing. We had seven people in the house and my dad didn't make a whole lot of money. And my dad was always very prudent as far as eat all your food and don't waste your food and don't waste things. So I brought it into my marriage with good intentions, but I didn't realize the destruction it was making. When Linda thought it would be a wonderful thing if I take her out to eat, even though like she mentioned something simple like Taco Bell, it wasn't like we're going to a real big expensive restaurant.
And you could buy stuff for 39 cents at
Back
Taco
then,
Bell. Then.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, we'd be on our way to the restaurant and I'd say, don't we have leftovers at home we should be eating? It's like, what a stupid thing to say. Don't leave the house. If you're worried about leftovers, stay home and eat leftovers. If you're going to take your wife out to eat, then get that out of your mind and enjoy your evening. And I would do this in so many ways.
Okay,
so,
I have a text I want to read here. This came in from David. We've been married for 30 years, together for 34. The first thing I do when I get home is been 15 minutes talking to my daughter. Then I go to my wife with no distraction, no TV on, no phone, and I talk to her for 15 to 20 minutes. Roses, occasionally, you can get them for $9 a dozen at your local grocery store. Do you guys know that? I know we used to know Home Depot had them really cheap, too, at one time.
And
I don't know
Fred
if they
Myers
still do.
Fred Meyers has good deals. Good
Fred Meyers, they put their prices up a little, but and he'd do it just cause. My wife is dying of congestive heart failure. Mm-hmm. She has had numerous heart surgeries in the last 5 years, and her kidneys are failing. She is the love of my life, and I spend as much time as I can with her. It's going to make me cry, David. Thank you for sending this. The biggest thing that I've done, which all men should do, never argue with your wife. Because if you do, you will only feel bad afterwards. In that time, I've never once fought with my wife. I guess the biggest thing is always hold your wife's hand and tell her that you love her. Okay. Mike and Linda, you guys are great, and I love listening to you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah. Okay. You got the tears in my eyes. You could take the camera off now, but I wanted to read that because it was so precious.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for that. I do want to end on a positive note here that I see number 10 on this 20 quick tips for a great marriage is this. And this is really key in improving your marriage. Let me just read it and then we'll discuss it. Deliberately creating positive experiences and interactions between the two of you while facing the uncomfortable issues that need to be addressed should be an ongoing priority. Okay, here's the thing. One of the things the Lord showed me when we used to do a lot of marriage counseling is in the midst of trying to solve people's problems, you know, they'd all tell me, this is what I don't like, and this is what's not working, and this is what's bugging me, and this is what's troubling her. And I'd always, eventually, when the Lord started teaching me this, I'd always say, okay, what's working? What is good in your marriage? What do you enjoy doing? What do you like to do together? You know, whether it's a hobby or watching movies or puzzles, you name it. What is it that works with you? Because that's one thing that couples do as a mistake. When they have a bad marriage, they spend all their time focusing on and concentrating on what's bad, what needs to be fixed. You do need to fix that. I like what number 10 is saying, but don't forget what's good and do invest into things that are good. If you guys enjoy a hobby together, don't just go, we don't have time for that. We got to work on these bad things. Do some good things. Create good feelings and enjoy one another. Enjoy doing things together. Focus on the positive. Focus on the good. I'm not saying you don't have to work on those other issues, but if all you do is focus on the negative, it's going to be a bummer. It's going to wear you out, and marriage is not going to go in the right direction. So good advice here, and I don't know how much further we're going to get than this. But number 10 here is deliberately creating positive experiences and interactions between the two of you. That should be an ongoing priority. So right now, I want you to think about it. What is it my spouse likes to do? What is it that we enjoy doing together? What is it that works that we always have a good time when we do it? And then maybe you might want to make a goal to do that today or sometime this week. Now, I got more to say, but it looks like Linda's got something.
Well, let me give you an example. This week, when we came in Tuesday, we get done with the show. I looked at him and go, it's Tuesday. And he's, huh? It's Tuesday. And he goes, you want to go to get tacos? And I'm like, yes, we haven't done it in a while, because if you do it every week, then you get tired of them. But that's one of those silly things. Go over to Del Taco, 329. You get three of their big super tacos. They make them so good. And he sits there and watches me smile while it's dripping down my face. It's just such a silly thing. I'm a cheap date that way, okay? You don't have to do steak and lobster, though we did do it last night because we had a gift card. We had a gift card. I wouldn't pay for steak and lobster, but we had a gift card someone gave us. Usually, you know, really cheap. I can get out of Del Taco, you know, $3-4, and I'm out of there. But it just makes me happy. They make those Del Tacos really good. Not the regular ones. Got to get the one with their name on it. But little things like that just sets up a situation for the positive.
Right.
For the positive, you know, and it wasn't a big hassle. Took us 15 minutes. We had dinner done. I didn't have to cook, you know. I mean, little things. It doesn't have to be big things. Do you have anything else you want to throw in there with the music starting?
Make a list of free things we like to do together and expensive things.
Yes.
Because there's times you don't have money. Do one of those free things. Make a list that you both agree on. Free things.
We used to go feed ducks.
Huh? Yeah, we used to feed ducks old bread. So anyway.
It's Friday. Go to church. We'd love to see you at Calvary Eagle. God bless. We'll see you next week.
If you'd like to know more about Calvary Chapel of Eagle, just go to the website at cceagle.org. Be sure and join Pastor Mike every Saturday at 8 p.m. and on Sundays at 8 a.m. for his radio show, It's All About Jesus. If we ran out of time and you didn't get a chance to call in, you can send your questions to lookup at cceagle.org. And may the Lord richly bless you as you continue to look up to Jesus.
Look full in His word.